nothing has mattered for like past months.
No, you're absolutely right. Nothing.
I mean, nothing. Nothing has mattered.
Have you been just sitting at home lately, Jazz?
No, I mean, I've been working on stuff. I actually just posted a video that I've been working on for a month. But in the middle of all that, I was also, you know, just writing and, you know, reaching out to people and looking at the social media and watching the news and, like, fortifying the shop in case people decide they wanted to burn the joint down. I mean,
did you put plywood on the windows?
No, man. No, honestly, I just put a bunch of book carts in the front, so if somebody walked in, they'd be like, "Oh, I don't want to move all this shit." And then I put a bunch of mirrors, because I was like, "Well, if anybody got in here and they were angry, like looking for something to break, they might just smash a mirror and be done." And honestly, like, you know, for me, that place isn't just a shop; it's like where all of my collection is. You know, my family photos and all of my stuff. You know. So, you know, so I was a little scared at the thought of having a commercial space in a sort of like a pseudo industrial area that's also like right on the fringe of a residential area. You know what I mean? And regardless of where I'm at that point, cats were just going around. Like there were cats who looted in Evanston at the Best Buy, and they had come from like Aurora or somewhere they got arrested for. You know what I mean? So, like, cats were, like, they weren't doing shit in their own communities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just, like, random people, like, commuter crime trying to, you
That's
know,
why when see. I started when throwing jump on Molotov the metro cocktails, to get back home. When I threw Molotov cocktails, I went all the way to Humboldt Park, because I'm not doing it in Lincoln Square.
No, of course not, you know?
See, now this is where I wish we were doing the show, so I could hit the, the rim shot.
Although, you have to admit, if you had done it in Lincoln Square, you would be harder to spot, since you're such a white dude.
Yeah,
and Humboldt to be like, "Oh, that's obviously that guy did it."
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, "Hey, fellas."
Exactly. Did you see they arrested the white lady that started the Wendy's fire in Atlanta?
What now?
The lady who actually started the fire at the Wendy's where Rashard Brooks was ultimately killed, where he was passed out. The woman who started the fire was a white woman. I mean, people were obviously doing shit that wasn't cool, but like the person who started it, I don't think there was anything happening at the Wendy's. The Wendy's was just closed and someone caught her on video starting the fire, and that's when all the other shit started.
Fucking lunatic, man.
It's Jesus been crazy. Christ.
Wendy's, the guy at Wendy's, Wendy, the girl, was like, "What the fuck? I just have red hair and make $1 chocolate milkshakes."
The Biggie Frosty.
Yeah, make a Biggie Frosty over here.
I mean, we've been trying to expand our menu, adding some more salads and whatnot, but come on.
But thanks a lot. Now the whole goddamn place burned down.
To a crisp. Well, you know.
Like our crispy onions, onion strings that would come on our specialty burger. Now available.
So,
order online for pickup.
Keep them coming, boys.
It seems like there's a lot of outrage lately. So maybe something we should start with instead of a Chaka Khan
is
our pure outrage. What is everybody very outraged about besides racism?
Everything is outrageous, man.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing, you know. I don't know. It's like I said, it's like I want to just do the show and be funny, but like for the past, you know, few weeks, man, it's been like
I've felt as hopeless as I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is there to be hopeful about, you know, in this whole thing?
Well, but all these good things are coming out of it. I mean, there was like 7 days of like crisis, and then it's just been steady action, man, and that's good. Yeah. I mean,
you know, no, for sure.
There is momentum. There is momentum.
Yes.
Look, man, when you go to Kentucky Lawford, you gotta, you know, go stand in line for Breonna Taylor or some shit, man.
I did that when we were down there before, and we went.
Oh, dope.
I went down and cleaned up after the. I'm a little old. My knees aren't super great for protesting, like the way that they were protesting down there. We're getting fucking shot.
What were they doing? Jump rope or something?
You know,
doing 3-on-3 half court basketball.
We were down there. Yeah. We were down there the nights the riot started, and the nights that everything went down all over the country, you know. And they had these film crews walking around the different corners of Louisville downtown. And the cops were just in straight lines, just fucking shooting tear gas at everyone. And rubber bullets and shit, just fucking, it was crazy, man. And I was like, I don't want to go and be a part of that. So Nikki and I went down the next morning and cleaned up.
Well, that's okay. Cool. That was one of the most impressive things about this whole thing that I saw was the massive amount of people that were cleaning up that were not in their own neighborhoods. People that, like in Minneapolis, the amount of people that came down and helped repair that main neighborhood that was destroyed was just unbelievable.
Dude, Minneapolis is doing work for the whole world right now, man. Yep. Like, not only is the whole George Floyd thing obviously the epicenter of that being there, but like ever since, like Minneapolis is like just burning everything. There's like all this like Minneapolis hip hop misogyny that's being dissected right now.
And, oh, they're like, just. Everything's about to get fucked.
Yeah, like, I mean, cats that I like, that, like, I don't want to see their names getting dragged, that I'm like, oh, shit, these guys were, like, I mean, you know, it's like Chris D'Elia. Like, there's a guy that, like...
Yeah, Chris D'Elia,
Jeff Ross is a dude that I like. He's getting dragged right now, right? You know, these cats are all... I mean, everybody's getting called out for their shit. That's why I'm, you know, I guess I'm glad I've been small time all this time. You know, got people with power, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? I mean... So you get that, and then you abuse it, and that's why people need to be equal. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing in a smaller scale is happening here. I don't know if you guys heard about the whole Erica Daniels thing at Victory Gardens. Yeah. You know, that's and obviously I.O. with
I.O. Toronto. Fuck I.O., man. I hate to say it. I was like, you know what, especially hearing her smugness talking about it, and now she's trying to blame cancel culture for her impropriety and all this stuff. It's like, good. It confirms every suspicion I ever had about that place, every bad feeling I ever had. And I walked in there, like, when it was young, man, when it was, you know, over on Clark Street, you know, and, like, I was trying to kind of, like, hang out with some of those people, but they were also disingenuous and full of themselves and fake. I was like, I ain't trying to jump in over here, man. Mm-hmm. And look at what happened. It's all a sham.
Second City is doing a similar thing too. So yeah, what I said to somebody the other day, I was like, what if out of this horrible, horrible, dark time that we end up having coming out the other side of this, like some kind of weird human renaissance?
We are. Are you kidding? Maybe. We are.
Maybe we won't.
I'll be honest with you. That's one of the only things that's been keeping me smiling since all this shit started, is just like having faith that, like, this is a necessary thing for humanity, right? Like, all of this crazy shit that, like, people have just been able to, like, and pretend. And it started for me, honestly, with George Floyd, because, like, a lot of those videos, I don't watch them. My heart, man, my empathy triggers.
The sound, it's too much. No, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's
horrible.
But when I heard about that one, I was like, I got to do it. I got to do all – I got to sit through 10 minutes of this, man. I got to experience this with this man. You know what I mean? And, I mean, it breaks you. And that's the reason why the pandemic really kind of is was the powder keg, you know, that Bart was ready to light, man.
Yeah.
And we couldn't not watch it.
Before, right.
Because
trapped audience, captive audience, literally captive audience. Mm-hmm. And
what do you guys feel like if, say, Trump wins re-election and half the nation says we still like it the way it was before, then is it just going to be the left eating itself for 4 more years?
Ooh, wow. Eating itself?
What do you mean by that, Andy?
There is a lot of,
there's a lot of BLM in the left, you know?
So maybe like a different political party ends up coming out of that, like maybe a Democratic Socialist Party or something like that, or
maybe I don't know. We live in a two-party nation, I think. You know, as much as we don't like it, it's just how it is. Until you know, and maybe 50 years from now it changes or something. But
did you know in India there are 3,000 political parties? 3,000.
It's like languages. There's too much shit going on over there.
There's also a billion people, so that's probably why.
Yeah, it's too many gods. There's too many gods. There's too many languages.
Too many gods.
There's too many mountain towns and too many political parties.
But see, this is another reason why it's good that we do this show usually with sound effects and stuff, so we can emphasize that we're joking. So like no one can like take these things out of context. Yeah. And like, I mean, you know, dude, we could probably very easily be canceled. Maybe we're pre-canceled. Maybe that's like, I've been saying that about my social media. I feel like all of my social media came pre-canceled because I tweet things that are really good and nobody ever notices them. And then I see people say things like, I like pizza. And it's like 40,000 likes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, on Twitter? People who have like a ton of followers on Twitter.
Yeah, but if Demi Lovato said that, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I like that.
Okay, sure. But I mean, I'm just saying that, no, it's just like some dude and he didn't even like hashtag it. And like all of a sudden there's like 40,000 likes and he's, you know what I mean? It's like, What is that? How is that a thing? Anyway, but we're lucky.
Nobody seems to be trying to burn down social media or the fucking news, which is really what's causing all this.
Listen to the Daily from the New York Times today, or the episode they released yesterday. They explore how Facebook is saying one thing and then doing something else on their platform. Like they say,
yeah, because they don't give a fuck. And why should they?
They don't give a fuck, right?
Like, who do they have to? They have a. Their president of their company cannot be fired.
Right.
And so he's like, I'll do whatever the fuck I want to. What are you going to do? Not use Facebook?
It's tricky. Well, I mean, look, again, I think this speaks to how fortuitous, I think, for us, I mean, that we existed before all of this at a pretty low level. So now that all these things are being cleared from, like, the top, like, we're going to rise up, bros. Like, we have to. I mean, I've been saying the same thing about this, like, financially for a long time. Like, I mean, I've always lived, like, you know, beyond my means and from check to check and, like, barely kept keeping up. And every time I get ahead, then there's a thing. You know what I mean? So, like, I've always lived in financial crisis. So, like, I didn't even feel a bump when we got into the pandemic. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're like,
I'm like, hey,
this is bro, every now you're spring
down,
month.
No, you are all down to my level now.
Yeah, exactly. I've eaten burritos out of the garbage at Straw Dog Theater Company before. You know
yeah, because you're like, you ever seen Jazz take a, like a fish skeleton out and it sounds like a xylophone? Like,
those scavenger bros. So I'm like, I'm ready for this shit. If it all blows up, I'm going to be fine. I'm ace.
One time I saw Jazz playing a harmonica around a trash fire, and then the fire was going down. So Jazz got off the chair he was sitting on.
And threw the chair in there.
Yeah, right.
All right, well, let's do a quick Chaka Khan of what everybody's feeling great about.
Chaka Khan! Man, I got a lot, bros. I got a lot of good. Oh, well, so I'll start with this. You see this?
Oh, wow.
Is that a leech? I got a brand new lens.
You got a fucking leech on your eye, bro?
No, but that's how they fixed my cataract, was with a leech.
Oh, cool.
I knew it.
They got the leech stoned for glaucoma.
We're obviously devolving into the ways of the ancient past. So, you know, it would stand to reason that if when they finally got to my cataract,
using salt to cauterize wounds. Yeah.
they had me drink whiskey and bite down on a bat.
Yeah. And then they branded you on your wound.
Although on the serious tip, they can only like semi knock you out when you're doing like
cataracts. You're awake.
So you're half awake. So I had to basically close my good eye,
dude,
and be half asleep. You can't be knocked out because you're like rapid eye movement, right?
So messed up, bro.
And no like way. I can't even do the glaucoma test at the eye doctor without being like, you know, like ready to dodge that shit.
That's
so the
bonkers.
Idea of doing it. I mean, it was driving me crazy, but I couldn't see out of this. I was basically blind in this eye, guys. I mean, it was like. Like right now, when I do the camera one, camera two, Wayne's World trick, you know, it's like one eye looks like vivid warm and one eye looks like vivid cool, you know, like okay. this is my good eye now. This was my bad eye. And now it's like really bright, like everything's really bright and clear. This one's a little like more hazy. It's almost
Did you do a reaction video when you saw a puppy for the first time and started crying at the airport?
I should have. No, but I'll
wear a soldier's uniform and see a puppy and be like, ah!
Just cry from my one good eye.
Yeah. Like, this motherfucker just had a glaucoma surgery.
This eye looks like
I've seen my whole family for the first time.
Yeah. Vote Biden. It says
I'd be crying. I'd be bawling then.
Oh, it's awesome.
But no, this eye looks like you know, 20 years of cigarette resin on the wall now. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, but no, so I can see now. So that's my big Shaka Khan. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was supposed to have my cataract surgery 3 days after the quarantine started, so I missed it by that much. And I was legit worried that this was going to go so long that like I could have completely lost vision in my left eye, right? Mm-hmm. Like it could have been like inoperable. As it was, the cataract was so bad, the dude, like I have a suture in my eye because he had to go really deep in to put the lens and shit. It's crazy.
Oh my god, dude.
It's crazy. So
did you feel all of that, or did they put like a local in there, or like what are
they? No, I mean they anesthetize you to a point. So it's like it's like basically like you're drunk as fuck, right?
Wow.
I mean, like drunker than you should be for a tattoo. But like I said, I couldn't really see out of this eye, so that was kind of the blessing in disguise too, right? Is that I basically just closed my right eye, which is my good eye at the time, now my bad eye, and I was just like, I'm just gonna keep my eyes closed. From the minute they put the, like, when I was in the waiting room before the operation, I closed this eye, and I never opened this eye until after the operation.
Wow.
I didn't see myself get transported into the room. I didn't say hello to the doctor. I was just like, I'm just going to pretend like I'm not here. Right. And they cut my eye open.
It's like you basically like tried to exit your own body. Like try to.
Yeah.
Did they have to tell you to like unclench your butthole? Cause that's all I would do. Like my butthole is so sore from.
Cause this is where this is how we go through to get to your head.
You signed the waiver, Mr. Zodley. Yeah.
We go the old butt to eye route.
That's right.
Did the shortest route to the eye. Yeah.
And also the leeches.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's my big thing, is that now I can see. So, like, awesome. You know, thanks to the miracles of modern technology, there's that. I also wanted to recommend a couple of things in honor of Juneteenth weekend. That show, Sherman's Showcase, that I was telling you guys about before.
Isn't it a new season?
Well, they just got picked up for their second season, and they did a special called the Black History Month in June Spectacular, and it's bananas. It's so funny, man. It's so funny. There's this just watch that. Also, I've told you guys about Roy Woods before, Roy Woods Jr. Mm-hmm. He's like a Daily Show correspondent and a stand-up. His first stand-up special was called Father Figure. And they played it on, they made it available on Comedy Central and again recently. And it's so worth watching, man. Just
cool.
Watch that mug.
Sweet. Yeah, he's very fun.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good entertainment. Also, real quick aside, Pete Miser has a new song. I don't know if anybody saw that.
I saw he put it out, but I didn't hear it.
It's called Quarantine, which then also reminds me there's a white rapper in New York named Marlon Craft.
No white people. We're done with white people.
Miser is half white. But
this half dude, Marlon, BIPOC.
Hold on. This dude, Marlon Croft, dude, he's got an album called Work for Home. It's like an EP. Dude can rhyme his ass off.
What's the name again?
Marlon Croft. He's got a video. Croft. There's a video for one of his new songs. It's called Loved. And it's like him like rapping to his former self and to his future son and blah, blah, blah. It's really good stuff. And then, okay, this is it. Last thing. The new Run the Jewels. Have you guys heard that yet?
Yes, I have. Very good.
Johnny?
No.
Dude, RTJ4. Get it.
They are headlining Riot Fest 2021.
Yeah. Dude, they're headlining everything. There's a song on the album called Just, and it's spelled JU$T. And it's got Pharrell and Zach De La Rocha on it.
Nice.
And
everybody forgave Zach De La Rocha now, huh?
I guess so. But you know, I mean, he's a militant dude. I don't know what he did wrong, but I don't know
what he did wrong either. But everybody's back on his.
He's been screaming a lot. Yeah, he's been screaming a lot of this stuff for a long time, man. So yeah, I think that's why.
Before anybody else was.
It's just like Colin Kaepernick is back too. Like all of a sudden everybody's like, well, got to give him a job. Hey, everybody wants to give him a job. Get in line to give him a job. You know what I mean? It used to be you couldn't even get him an interview. Now everybody's lining up to sign the guy because, oh, he was right. You know what I mean?
But okay, all it took was a worldwide crisis and a human revolution.
Right. Yeah.
Why? All because, yeah, it's unbelievable. Man. But anyway, so on the RTJ album on this track, Just, the refrain is, they say, mastered economics because you rage yourself a squalor. Mastered academics because you call yourself a scholar. Mastered Instagram because you so you can instigate a follow. Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollars. And that's wow. Like, that's the chorus, right? And people are chanting this. They released it like just a couple days after the George Floyd thing. They released it early and it's been like spreading like wildfire. And so now cats are like chanting some of this stuff.
At the protest, right.
All around the world. Right. So, like, they're headlining everything right now. Awesome.
I feel like Killer Mike is the one leader, the one voice that stood out to me that's been like, oh, this guy could be the leader of this.
Right?
I have an interesting story about...
What about Dave, too? Dave Chappelle. Y'all saw that, right?
Oh, dude, 846 Yeah,
but Dave doesn't want to be a leader.
I know. 846 is the greatest comedy special since... Carlin, like he's transcended the art form.
He is transcendent. He has been for a while. He's the best. Since Equanimity, he's been transcendent.
He's the best.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big Norm Macdonald fan, as you know. And Norm calls Dave the peerless one and never refers to him by name. He just says the peerless one.
Real quick, is Norm the one who said, I expected Dave Chappelle to become the next Richard Pryor, but he might become the next Martin Luther King?
Yeah.
I think Norm said that. And I mean, that shit's legit. I was like, God damn. He's speaking truth, and he's connecting. And that's the thing that's really interesting to hear a comedian say is, like, you expect me to be honest. Even though I'm being funny, right? Like, you know I'm gonna, you can trust me. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the way he set up jokes in that was the only other time, the only other person I've ever seen that do was Carlin, right? And that was back in 90, 91, 92. And ever since then, it was like, I've never seen anybody do that style of, well, really storytelling.
Yeah, you know? Storytelling. In my opinion, the reason was because it was so raw that he didn't have time to make it shiny. And that's what made it so good. Like, you could see his mechanics a little more than his other stuff, you know? So, I think that's...
Okay.
Yeah.
It was dope to see. Anyway, well, Chaka Khan!
Chaka Khan. I have one recommendation that has nothing to do with politics or quarantine or anything.
Awesome.
It's just a video game that came out that I've been waiting for years.
Oh.
And it just came out. It's called The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
And it is, number one, the most violent game I've ever played on Earth.
Like, awesome.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, like Mortal Kombat. I don't know if you guys have played Mortal Kombat lately, but, like, you basically, like, rip out people's spines and shit. Yeah. And, you know, like awesome. Open their faces and spit in their faces and, you know, shit like that. Like, real cartoony, over-the-top violence. The Last of Us is really based in reality style thing. So when you go up to someone, it looks, you know, the graphics are out of this world, but when you stab someone in the throat with a knife, you watch them bleed out and die on the ground. And not only that, but if you do it in front of any other people, you know, like in games where you kill someone in stealth mode and then they're just like, nobody ever says anything.
Right.
Their friends call their name and scream out in agony that their friend has died.
Oh, God.
Fucking crazy, you know? And you're like, oh, man, I'm sorry I just killed Diane. I didn't know all y'all motherfuckers like Diane so much. You shouldn't have let her walk over here, Mike.
Why'd you let me kill her?
So that's the first part. The second part is it is the most beautifully written game.
Hmm.
I've ever played. Does everybody know what Last of Us is about?
No.
I've only watched Vince play it, and I watched him, and I think he played some with his son. So I haven't seen the whole game, but I've seen some of the chapters. And then also there was like an online game. Did you do that too? Did you do like the become a medic or a sniper and then like go roving bandits against other villages and stuff?
Okay, no. I don't have all the online stuff.
Okay, they have that online on the original one. I don't know if they have it for the new one.
They'll probably release it later. But yeah. The story of The Last of Us is a terrible virus has taken over America and killed, you know, almost everyone besides, like, I don't know, 30% of the population or something. And you play this guy named Joel, and Joel has this Joel's responsible to bring this. He's like a smuggler, you know, in this, like, post-apocalyptic time. And his job is to bring this girl, Ellie, from Boston to Wyoming. And she's like a 14-year-old girl. And so the whole game, you're traveling with this 14-year-old girl, and it's just like a lot of conversation back and forth. And you're also killing zombies and shit like that. And then you get to the end of game one, and you take Ellie to the place, and the doctors tell you, well, Ellie, we have to kill her to get the part of her brain that has the whatever, the antidote.
Serum.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at the end of the game, you have to fucking murder all the doctors in the hospital. It's pretty, like, ethically strange thing to do, you know?
Sure.
So the second game starts. It's super fun. So I'm going to give a spoiler. If anybody's listening, I'm going to give you a spoiler right now. So the second game starts, and you play an hour as Joel, right? And then it's, like, 5 years later, and then you switch over to Ellie, right? In your first, like, half an hour as Ellie, you walk into a place, and you see Joel, the character that you spent 40 hours playing. The first game, you know? You watch him get his head busted in with a golf club.
Oh, no.
And then the whole rest of the game is, like, so far has been, like, avenging Joel's death.
Nice.
Wow.
Pretty fucking heavy.
They took a page out of The Walking Dead on AMC, then. The whole Negan busting people said. Did you ever watch that show, guys?
No, but I just saw it. Well, yeah. I watched like 5 or 6 seasons of it, and then I was like, ugh, all right,
all
right.
That's not enough.
But I did see that The Last of Us TV show is coming to HBO next year.
Ooh, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. All right, word.
Starring Anderson Lauffer as Joel.
Joel, it's me, Joel, fellas.
Hey.
Is Joel an overweight 40-year-old?
Well, they got to shoot it like they did Hardcore Harry, you know? All from first person.
Yeah,
right, dude. Right.
Why not?
South African dude to be the other actor.
I'll find a clip to show you guys before we're done tonight.
All right, word.
So you guys can take a look. But that's my Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Okay. So my two things are. Recommendations. So if you can find a way to get some kind of physical exercise and get out in the sunlight right now, it's the best time to do it. And it's also the one of the best ways to maintain your mental and physical health through this whole deal. Mm-hmm. I've adapted some kind like a circuit training kind of thing in my backyard. I try to do it about 3 or 4 times a week. And then I also do yoga inside when it happens to be raining. I'm lucky enough to have a backyard, so I'm able to like jump rope, sit-ups, push-ups, you know, things like that.
And
I noticed that my energy levels are way, way better, and I feel a ton less of anxiety. I feel like I gain more perspective. I sleep better, which ultimately helps that cycle keep going, and it's really great. And if you don't have like access to an outside place that is solitary, you know, a lot of people go jogging, a lot of people find different ways to get outside, but the main point is find something that you enjoy doing that you're gonna stick with and just keep doing it, because you know, we don't know how this is gonna play out. We don't know how much longer we're gonna have this weather. I mean, we know how much longer we're gonna have this weather, but we don't know how serious this thing could be in the next wave, or this wave that hasn't even finished yet. So,
Dude. So
in order to keep your health up, it's important to keep your, cause this is, it's all, it affects your immune system and everything too. So just
right.
Do that.
Dude.
Other thing, get a weighted blanket. If you haven't tried it, I bought my first one in the time in between shows that we've done here. And man, it's a game changer. I'm telling you. I bought, I've heard a lot of people talk about it for a long time. And then I saw there was a decent sale on it. And I bought one from the great and powerful Amazon.
Mr. B, all hail Bezos.
That's right.
And Lord, it's a 20 pounder. And what's interesting is that it's 20 pounds and you wouldn't think that feels like a lot, but it's like significant. And it's filled with these tiny little glass balls that help wick away the heat that you would normally get from like a heavy, heavy blanket. Ooh. Man, I'm sleeping better on most nights than I really have in a long, long time. So
I don't want to sleep with glass balls. Just kidding. Okay. I haven't spent too much time with my
own balls.
Ick.
Have hard enough time sleeping with these blue balls.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm just joking.
Weighted blanket. All right, man.
Yeah, it's really great. And you know what? It's cool to chill on the couch with too. Like if you're just watching TV or something, it's like it's there's some weird. I don't understand it other than like it's the pressure that's on your body that it feels like. I think it's supposed to substitute for human contact, and that was one of the things that I felt like I benefited from a lot too. Was it just feels like safety for some reason?
Sure. Well, and I think putting pressure on you like actually makes your, you know, makes your bones settle in a little bit better. You know, makes your muscles
spreads out your organs.
Yeah.
Flattens you like like a cartoon under a.
How much weight is it?
It's 20 pounds, but there are different weights too. So like, there's you can get 15, 17. You know, it depends on which.
60.
I'm
can
sure
I get
that's
320?
You just get
320.
Sure, why not? I don't know how good that's gonna feel. Unless you're into it. I mean.
All right, I want to show you
Shaka Khan.
Thank you, Johnny.
Shaka Khan!
I'm gonna show you a clip of Last of Us Part 2 so you guys can see the gameplay.
Ooh. Share screen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna mute for a moment.
Let me see if we can do this. Okay, can you guys see that?
Yep.
So that's Ellie. That's who you're playing.
Is there no sound to this?
I don't think you can switch sound over.
Okay.
Well, if you can't switch the sound over, you got to narrate this. This is your...
Okay, here comes Ellie.
This is your presentation.
She's seeing some hanging bodies, right? Hanging from nooses, and she's going to climb under this tree. Or over. How about that? Climbing over a tree. And here's... Oh, there's a guy hanging. And then there's...
Jesus.
They are...
Disemboweling this guy.
Disemboweling him.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
All of his guts are hanging out of his body. And now they're hearing a whistle, and they know that something's bad. So here comes some people. They know that there's a trespasser in the area. So Ellie's going to have to make her way around.
It looks like she's going in a parking garage, like an old parking
garage. That's right. This takes place in Seattle, by the way.
Okay. And Anderson was just going to let this play soundlessly
for us. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For the benefit of our viewers and listeners.
So Ellie's
got a crossbow.
She's got that's a bow and arrow, but yeah, she took this guy out.
Took a dude out.
There's more whistling happening, which means we know something is not right. Here comes a guy.
So she's hiding behind a car.
There's a lady up there. I'm going to go up and see if we can't get a look at her. Oh, that's a guy. Never mind. There's another dead body on the ground. We're sneaking up on him. Whoa.
So she just took out two people with like a hammer?
Yeah, a hammer right in the eye, right in Jazz's new eye.
Not my eye!
So now she's back on in the streets.
Back on the running away. And here comes. She went into the grass, they screamed. Up some more guys.
She's quite the warrior.
Aren't these graphics really cool?
Like it's
the
insane.
Light? It looks freaking real, doesn't it?
It really does.
Okay, here we go. They're saying, the wolf came through here. That's what they call her, the wolf. So we're going to look. They're going to look and see if they can see her. Under cars. The other good thing about this game is it, there's no like set patterns that everybody follows, you know, like in video games.
Nice.
So yeah, right in the face. Whoop, getting pulled out.
Oh, no. Wow. Well, I can see how I can see how you would get sucked into playing this game forever.
Forever.
It's kind of crazy. It's crazy, dude.
It's like Skyrim, but cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of getting shot. Yeah, when you get shot, the blood goes on the screen.
Whoa.
Human shield.
She don't give a fuck, dude.
I'm just kidding. I like Skyrim.
So here we are in a makeup store.
Naturally.
Everything's overrun. Makeup. Yeah, she's like, I need some makeup. can't walk around like this.
She's got three people that are trying to come into the store, and they all got their fucking medieval weapons.
Couple guys got rifles.
And they're not wearing masks.
No, they're not wearing masks. Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I know it's bullshit. Very right wing. There are parts of the game where you have to wear a mask because there's these spores. The things that get turn people into zombies are all over.
Right,
and it's like happening. Yeah, it's like a fungus that grows on you that turns you into a zombie.
Man, we're almost there, bros.
Awesome.
This is good experience for your future, Anderson. You'll be a leader. You'll be our leader.
You won't be the wolf. You'll be the sheep.
Yeah, the lemur.
Agent Wombat.
Quick, let's hide in this makeup store.
I need some concealer for this zombie bite.
So here we go. This will be the last part of the fight that we'll watch, but
so now is this a play that you
exploding arrows.
And then she's got a sword. More like a machete.
Threw right through the makeup store thing. Well, a lot of people at once. Oh, neck, right, got it right in the neck with a machete. Oh.
You got to be good with them arrows, son.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, right in the head. Holy God. Dude, this is... Oh, my God.
That is some crazy camera work.
Holy Lord.
There you go.
Okay.
That's the Last of Us Part 2.
Shotgun.
Anyway, it's been very fun playing that game, and it totally distracts you. Because then you walk outside and you're like, oh, there's the coronavirus.
Yeah,
not fucking mushroom dudes with fucking
spores and zombies.
Yeah. And you know, the point of the game that they always say is, like, it's not the zombies that really are the problem. It's the other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably a good lesson for the way the world is.
Is that your metaphor?
For the other fucking jerk-off.
Yep. True words have never been spoken.
Word.
Booty.
So what do you guys say instead of the news today? Did you guys know that other news is still happening in the world?
Well.
Besides just... Black Lives Matter and coronavirus, there's actually other stuff that happens that continues to happen.
I think it's all related, isn't it? I think it's all
maybe
related.
Maybe it is. But. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I guess we'll find out with our new game. What's the news?
What's the news?
It's a terrible name.
The game of news and guessing what the news is.
Yes. So to play this game, I went through and I found some other news stories that have nothing to do with the current upheaval on Earth.
Okay.
Got it.
And to play it, I'm going to read you the headline and I'm going to leave one word blank. And you're going to have to guess what the word is. And then I'll tell you the story.
Cool.
You guys are going to play against each other. Are you feeling lucky tonight?
I
think it's a fair matchup, considering we both got our heads shaved and our beards going.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shutting
the computer. In bed, so he's already at a disadvantage.
What is a disadvantage? Dude, I'm prepared. Honestly, this pandemic has been the best thing ever. I don't ever want to leave home. I don't ever want to touch people. I don't ever want to do another live performance. I'm just going to do everything from my bed with my unicorn rainbow pants, my fucking laptop, and my fucking iPhone and iPad. That's it. I'm never going to see you guys again. Ever.
Have you guys thought, before we start this, like a real serious question, have you guys thought about going 24 hours without any contact with news or like any information coming in all the time?
I mean, not lately.
Yeah, not lately.
But
it feels like irresponsible in a way.
Yeah, I need 24 to
24 hours?
Dude, I need to check the shit before I leave the crib, bro. I'll be checking Twitter, Weather Channel. I can look out the window and see if it's going to rain or not, but I'll be looking on Weather Channel for all kinds of patterns. I'll be looking at CNN to see if there's demonstrations. I'll be looking at, you know, Facebook to see if there's any sales. I go on Grubhub to see if there's any discounts or coupons I should get.
Yeah, any coupons? This Chinese?
It's irresponsible, like Johnny said. I think that was the best way to put it, man. It's irresponsible.
Okay, well, you guys might know the answers to these then.
Maybe.
We'll have to see.
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. Why don't we play that you, whoever screams out the answer first, gets to go first for the answer.
You mean buzz in?
Yeah, buzz in. Yeah. By screaming.
Oh, we should.
I'm not going to scream in my apartment with three other people living here.
No, we should just do like a gesture.
Oh, okay. Gesture, I'm going to be looking at another page, so I can't do the gesture. So you guys got to figure it out amongst yourselves.
I'll just make a sound or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Johnny, if it's really you, just start. Go, hey, Johnny. And then Jazz, if it's you, go, James. And then we'll know.
Okay.
Okay, let's start with an easy one. A Virginia woman said a painful blank turned out to be a blessing in disguise when it led her to a $500,000 lottery jackpot. A Virginia woman.
Johnny. Said headache?
Headache, yes. Great job, Johnny.
Oh,
nice.
1 point for Johnny. Olga Ritchie of Henrico, Virginia, told the lottery officials that she was suffering from a headache recently, so she went to Tony's Market in town to buy medicine. You can tell how trashy people are by what they do at the grocery store while they're there for headache medicine. Ritchie said she decided to buy a Mega Money scratch-off ticket while she was waiting to buy headache medicine.
She big long line.
Yeah, discovered later at home that she had won $500,000. I couldn't believe my eyes. I almost fainted. She now says she is grateful for the headache.
I'm going to continue to have headaches for the rest of my life.
Dude, if I have a real fucking bad headache, a headache so bad that I go to the fucking store to buy medicine for it, you know, if I'm like, I can't just wait this out and have a bunch of water. I have to leave the house and go to the store. I'm not going to the store and then saying like, fuck it, give me a scratch-off ticket. I'm here. That is addict behavior.
Kind of is.
Yeah, the story, they didn't bother to look into this. They didn't bother to become journalists in that moment and ask her, like, is this thing you normally do?
Yeah. Is this a problem? Is this a problem for you? Do you have a headache because you didn't spend money on lottery for the past day?
Do you have a headache because you lost every single time you've ever played?
You really want to? You don't have to. All right, what's the next one?
All right, here we go.
My account, let me do the math here. It's 1-0.
Perfect. Here we go with our second question. An extremely rare blank, thought to be one of only 7 ever produced, is up for auction online, and experts say it could sell up to $100,000. An extremely rare blank, thought James. To be one of... James.
Pokemon!
That's right, it's Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you know?
Wait, what? Idea.
Yeah, the Pokemon Super Secret Battle Number 1 Trainer card being sold by Heritage Auctions is billed by the auction house as the holy grail of collectible cards, and its condition was rated the perfect 10 by experts. The card is one of 7 that were distributed to winners of regional tournaments in Japan in 1999, granting them entry to the finals in Tokyo.
Wow.
Lucky guess.
Wow.
I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket. $100,000
for a Pokemon card. I think that might be more popular in Japan at the end of the day.
But just a little
bit. $100,000 popular? That's Japan. If you were going to say like $15,000 and say, okay, that's like Virginia where the lady had the headache.
Motherfuckers be spending too much money on all kinds of weird shit in America, man.
What if that lady spent $500,000 on 500,000 scratch-off cards?
That wouldn't be the worst idea ever, but it wouldn't be the best either.
It would not. It would not. Okay, here we go. The Spanish owner of a painting by famed artist Bartolomé Esteban Murillo said he paid more than $1,300 to have it restored, and the process made a mess of blank. Spanish owner of a painting by famed artist Bartolomé Esteban Murillo said he paid more than $1,300 to have it restored, and the process made a mess of blank.
The signature?
Great guess, but incorrect. Jazz, want to take a guess?
Jazz!
Jazz.
The Spanish River.
Another great guess, but also incorrect. The correct answer was the Virgin Mary.
Oh.
It's like okay. In the painting, though?
Yeah, so close.
Yeah. The Valencia owner of the Immaculate Conception of Los Venerables by Baroque artist Bartolomé Murillo.
The Venerable in Spanish.
The Venerables, yes. So paid $1,300 to have a furniture restorer clean the painting, but the attempt destroyed the face of the Virgin Mary. So they tried to put a face back on, and it looked like a cartoon face of Mary.
No!
The botched restoration drew comparisons to the Ecce Homo painting, which was redubbed Monkey Christ.
I'm familiar with his work, yes.
After an 81-year-old church member attempted a restoration in 2012.
Well, first problem, 81 years old. Second problem, volunteered for it. You got to pay somebody to do it right.
I'll do it! You're like, no.
Yeah, right.
No.
No, sir, I'm over here.
Yeah, and then you can't be like, well, I let him do it because I felt bad.
Like, no. I mean, he's got so little to do to fill his time these days.
So we let him take over for the Christ picture in our church that's 1,000 years old.
This priceless antiquity, we just let him play with it.
Yeah, we let old Stan take a whack at it.
Well, it's either that or let him control the collection plate, and we're definitely not letting him do that.
He's always got a boner.
Nothing worse than an 80-year-old man's boner.
Oh, yeah. My God. Hard as a rock.
Jesus.
All right. So it's still 1-1.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, here we go. An India resident who noticed blank inside his home opened his air conditioning unit and found more.
Rats.
It's Johnny with rats? Sorry, that's incorrect.
Spiders. Yes.
Spiders, another great guess. Also incorrect. Correct answer was snakes.
I should have. That was my first instinct.
Shradhead Nand, a farmer from the village of Pavli Kurd in the Meerut district, said he spotted a snake on the floor of his bedroom Monday night, and then he released the reptile outside. That's strike one. I'd be like, fuck you. I'm killing you with a garden hoe. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or golf club.
The man said he returned to his bedroom and found 3 more snakes in his bed. He searched for the source of the snake invasion. And he ended up...
The snake invasion.
He ended up discovering about 40 inside his air conditioner.
What?
Whoa.
Shredhead Man said he was able to extract the snakes with the help of neighbors and release them into a nearby wooded area where they will definitely return.
I thought that snakes preferred warm places, not cold places. Am I crazy or?
Was it the local?
An air conditioner gets really hot. The
local veterinarian said a mother snake had apparently laid eggs inside the air conditioner, which had not been used for several months.
Whoa. That's bonkers, man.
It's messed up. Yeah, is part of this news story the origin story of Traphead Man and why he's called Traphead Man?
Traphead? Oh, Shredhand? Is that what you're talking about?
I thought you called him Traphead Man.
No, Shredhand.
I don't know. I thought you called him a name like a superhero. Like his
Trap
name is Traphead Man.
All the snakes were attracted to his trap head.
Exactly. Jesus. Why didn't he just get him with his trap head? He didn't need a golf club, he didn't need a stick, all he just needed was his trap head.
Once you go into the trap head, you can't go out the other way. Oh. Like a crab cage. Here's a story that hits a little closer to home.
Okay.
An animal control officer in a suburb of Chicago responded to an unusual call that involved her having to wrangle a blank.
Alligator.
Yes.
Ugh. Alligator's close, but incorrect. Jazz?
Monitor lizard.
Oh my God! Can you imagine?
They eat alligators.
Holy shit!
I know that was wrong. I'm just fucking around. What is it?
The correct answer is a 45-pound turtle.
Oh!
Whoa. Holy shit, dude!
Morton Grove Animal Control responded Friday to a report of a large reptile eating parkway grass on a residential road near the on Waukegan. I probably had about 8 families on the block taking pictures of the tortoise when I arrived, the animal control person said. It wasn't afraid. It was just having a good grass meal. She said she needed help from another officer to lift the massive African tortoise to a police car while she attempted to find the animal's owner.
I'm sure they held the turtle's head down before he, you know, got into the back seat just to make sure he was safe.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, turtle.
Where do you find cuffs for a turtle though? You know?
Yeah.
Do you just use like the tie, you know, like the plastic ties that they use zip for ties? Riots? Yeah, zip ties.
Yeah, that's right. You know what they should have done is zip tie like a bunch of books to its back so it made it really heavy and hilarious. The officer said the turtle named Betty was reunited with her owner later that afternoon. She said Betty had escaped from her owner's yard by digging her way to freedom.
Whoa.
Her paws are very big, and tortoises are notorious for digging. It was an appropriate enclosure, but persistency got in the way. Hold on. This thing's 45 pounds.
Yeah, that's big.
Right, show me with your hands what a 45-pound turtle looks like.
Okay. I'm guessing this.
About as big as this.
Not wide, Jazz, but like deeper, not flat.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying like this big around and probably.
So, and like probably this high.
So you got a 45-pound turtle. Okay, so you got something like that, like Jazz has, right?
Right.
Pillow folded in half. Okay. In your yard, in an enclosure.
Right.
And the turtle digs its way out.
Mm-hmm.
Turtle. A very slow-moving old turtle.
Well, we've seen this parallel before, dude. It's Shawshank.
Do you think he put a Farrah Fawcett poster up and then went right underneath?
No, it just took him a long time every night. And then during the day, he's just walking around, just spreading the dirt out all over the yard.
Out of his shell. Like
yeah.
Dropping that.
Yeah.
Talking to like the nice old black turtle.
Jesus.
Like, shaking the tree, boss. Shaking the tree.
Yeah, and he was like, Zawataneho, which means Walgreens on Waukegan.
There was another turtle that was going to spring him and...
Yeah, got shot.
Got assassinated.
Yeah.
plans.
Turn him into turtle finished, soup.
But then he found his high school records at the end. A blank was found at the side of an Oklahoma road and was returned to its owner, a New Mexico woman who hadn't seen it in more than 35 years.
Jazz. Llama.
A llama. Great guess. No, I'm sorry.
Let's see, 35 years. Pogo stick.
Show the magical ring card.
Keep them coming. We'll get there. It was a
Clarabelle puppet.
Blake Williams said a coworker found a 1981 Mayfield Trojans class ring. That's in a sunglasses lame. Bag at the side of the road in Marietta, Georgia.
I thought it was going to be something cool, weird.
Yeah.
You know, if you lose a high school ring 35 years ago, it's because you didn't fucking want that high school ring.
Yeah, you spent $100 for no fucking reason.
Do you guys have high school rings?
No.
No way.
Right? That was never in the Moran family budget.
Hell no.
No, not in the Lauffer family either. They'd be like, okay, so draw what you want on the sides, like you want an acting face and maybe a football helmet on the side or whatever. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, $400. I'd be like, no.
That reminds me, actually, this is brilliant. I need to include this in my show about high school because I have a Letterman jacket and I never got a letter.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
I just had to have the jacket. And so
But the letter was $200. Jacket was $50.
That's how they get you.
It's funny. I did.
All the upcharges.
Who was like a football player, you know, extraordinaire. He had like surplus letters. So he gave me a letter. And then I had upstairs theater tattooed or like embroidered on the letter.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So I kind of, you know, so there's that. But the back of the jacket, instead of like Evanston football, Evanston basketball, Evanston swimming, it says Evanston Wildcats. It just says the mascot.
Like, I'm just a fan.
Yeah. Right, I really like them.
My ass was the best, guys.
Yeah, it's like an off color and shit.
Oh, God, that's the whole story right
yeah.
now. Get with your Zubaz. With your Zubaz pants.
Right.
Do you remember seeing the pamphlets, though, for high school rings in high school?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the name of the company?
Jostens.
That's right. Oh, you still work at a high school. You know all about Jostens.
Yeah, I think it's still Jostens.
Yeah, Simpsons had such a great bit about that. I forget what it was, but it was fucking hilarious.
About Jostens rings?
Yeah. A great bit.
Did you know how much a high school ring costs?
It's nowadays? Not cheap, dude. Probably like $500-$600.
I bet it's $500-$600 too. It Hold used on, to be see. Three. It was like $350 when we were in high school, but I was in high school.
You go to Evanston, Jazz. Evanston.
Huh?
High school.
In Wyoming. Well, no, that's in Wyoming, dude.
That's okay. Whatever. We just need a school to see.
Cost of living in
the cheap. Oh, so let's see, $289 for a tribute ring.
Huh. Bullshit.
Let's see some higher end ones. Charm necklace.
They're still in the $300 to $400 range, though. It looks like.
Yeah, but you got to figure that's the basic model, right? True. Before you ask for like you know.
Right. And you start engraving and personalizing. Yeah, you're right.
Could you imagine being like, okay, listen, my name is Emily. And I want a ring that says my name, and then I also wanted to have an August peridot. Oh, let's see, and a tourmaline. Okay, tourmaline.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine wearing this fucking ring? Look at that devil on the side.
Class 18 Vanguard Devils.
Yeah, like. Hey, my girlfriend in high school had enough money for a $400 ring that it says the devil on. Fucking looks like Liberace's ring. 2020.
Happy memories.
Yeah, it's like fucking dating Polly Walnuts over here. She wears it on her pinky. Look at that. Class of 18.
Pretty rough.
With the Africa colors in the middle, surrounded by diamonds. Hey, yes. Conflict African diamonds.
Interesting. Way to find a problematic choice in an
yeah.
pursuit of trivia.
What can I say?
All right, what's the next question? I think we're still tied 1-1. We started out hot.
A Yemeni man. That means a man from Yemen.
Thank you.
He's living in Malaysia now. A Yemeni man living in Malaysia.
A Yemeni national living in Malaysia. Thank you.
Was awarded a Guinness World Record for his unusual accomplishment of stacking blank vertically.
Bottles.
Great guess. Jazz, you want to take a shot?
Stacking things vertically. Coins.
Ooh, another good guess. Both incorrect, but both great guesses. Guinness announced Kuala Lumpur resident Mohammed Mukbel was awarded the record for the world's largest stack of eggs.
Babies. What?
When he managed to balance 3 chicken eggs in a tower formation.
Eggs.
Wow.
The record-keeping organization stipulated that the eggs had to remain stacked for at least 5 seconds, and all 3 eggs had to be fresh and free from cracks.
Okay.
Mukbel said he had been teaching himself to stack eggs since the age of 6.
So then he realized his dream.
He was
That's pretty great. Within his own lifetime.
He was like, you know what? I got a dream, baby.
It can be done.
I'm going to live forever.
It's about stacking eggs vertically.
This is my legacy.
For no one.
My eggacy.
And then he's like, I won't stop until my name is in a book that kids buy at Scholastic Book Fairs.
Not anymore.
In the stacking eggs category.
At least he's probably out of competition.
Yeah, do you think anybody else tried out against him?
Why would you want to try to reach those heights? That's just
it says the guy's 20 now, so he spent 14 years. If I really focused right now and put in 15 years, I bet I could stack 4 eggs.
I don't know, man. It sounds like this guy was a physicist.
A prodigy.
He might be.
He's a prodigy.
He might be.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just the Malaysian version of our competitive eaters.
That's right. They don't degrade themselves by putting eggs in their bodies.
Ingredient stacker.
Yeah. All right. We got one more. So one more chance to win. One more chance to win. The controversy over depictions of Christopher Columbus in Columbus, Ohio, has led to an online petition calling for the city to be renamed blank.
Jazz, I know this one. Flavortown
is right.
Flavortown?
Yeah.
That's right. The city of Columbus announced Thursday that the statue of Columbus outside City Hall would be removed, and officials are asking the Arts Commission to consider changes to the city's seal, flag, and other symbols. The change.org petition calls for the city to go a step further by changing its name to Flavortown, in celebration of the city's culinary bona fides and one of its most famous natives, TV chef celebrity Guy Fieri.
Columbus, Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
Why not rename the city Flavortown? The new name is twofold.
So it would be called the Flavortown Blue Jackets then, their hockey team.
Yeah. Or the Flavortown Nachos would be a good name for a hockey team.
You know? They would be the Flavortown loaded nachos.
Loaded nachos.
With donkey sauce.
You would just call them the Chos if you were like a real hardcore fan. You go to the Chos game.
You going to see the Chos
game?
Go to the low chos.
I'm going to get my tips frosted, and I'm going to see the chos play.
Dude, I've been
just another night. Just another night in Flavortown.
Hey, you know, he's the leading scorer in loaded nachos history.
That's right. He won the donkey sauce award. It's when everybody pours donkey sauce all over you when you win.
Hilarious.
Can you guys hear that? The fanfare?
Ohio State University, home to Flavortown, Ohio.
How has Guy Fieri not been canceled yet?
Because apparently he's actually a really good guy.
Well,
right?
he raised something like $20 million for restaurant workers during the quarantine. So.
Yeah.
And he loves donkey sauce. He loves flavor.
Yes, he does.
You know what? Flavor. He's like me. He has the taste buds of someone who has drank and done drugs and smoked cigarettes for so many years.
Yeah.
That everything has to be so fucking extremely flavorful.
Yep. He puts sriracha on his frosted flakes.
Yeah. He's like, you know what this donkey sauce needs? Ketchup.
That's a good one. Well.
Let me drink this pickle juice just to relax.
Just so I can feel again.
I fucking miss you guys, man. Shit.
Yeah, you too. Good job, Jazz. You won the game.
Woo!
Good job,
man.
That's a good game. That's a good game, man.
That's fun, right? Fun. It should be, we should be just shouting things at each other, I think, to play properly. Maybe next time you can host it, Johnny, and I'll just yell things.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Let's look it up.
Got it.
All right, dude.
Well, good to see you guys. Yeah, good to see you all.
Yep. Stay safe out there, guys. Be well.
Hey, and incidentally, real quick, because this is, you know, going to be more normal, it'll probably stay this way for a while, I guess. I don't know. I want to encourage you guys to, like, you know, make stuff. I've been trying to put stuff up on the and stuff YouTube and stuff. I got a new video that I just dropped. I'll email it to you or whatever. Like, let's start writing and making stuff. Like, we should all be doing shit with our phones, man.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
Right.
Yeah,
maybe I'll give you guys a tour of Louisville while I'm down there.
Dude, yeah.
That's cool.
You know?
Yeah, that's good. Oh, that would be really fun if you did like a tongue-in-cheek kind of version of being a tour guide. You ever see that one guy who would go to different cities and like screw, like he couldn't say things correctly and be really happy about it? I forget what the guy's thing was, but that was the worst tour guide.
I can do that.
Yes.
I can totally do that.
But it would be nice to see Andy's version of Louisville. That'd be very
fun. Or Johnny, make a 2-minute video describing the workout circuit thing that you're doing.
Okay.
And just like call it the Johnny Mo workout. I don't know. Just do something. Let's just do more silly shit, guys.
Okay.
Plus, honestly, man, you know, I was kind of joking about the whole, you know, never performing live, but like, I'm not going to be able to do this show that I've been writing live for, you know, still. So I'm trying to like make videos of like, I want to basically like release a special or something that's like this. You know, it's like, you know, not just me talking to people. It's just me doing the bits, but like maybe with, you know, a projector and a dry erase board. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to like do all this different stuff because I can't, like the normal mode of presenting things is not feasible anymore. Right.
Right.
So, but I still got to make this thing. So anyway, so I've been just trying to make stuff and, you know, and plus, you know, if you get like over 1,000 subscribers on a YouTube channel, like you can start to monetize things. And I mean, like why, you know, we should just be creating stuff and sharing it. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
I will make a personal goal to try to make a video before the next time we meet.
Wow.
Okay. Sounds good.
Let's say 2 weeks.
All right.
Sounds great.
Wait, cause how long are you going to be in Louisville, Andy?
For a week. So
okay.
I'll be back probably the next week. Depends on how my mom is, but probably next week. The week after.
Well, Godspeed to Mama Lauffer.
Yes, exactly.
I'll let her know.
Yeah, let her know. I'll run a 5K with her after she's healed from her new knee.
I'm sure she'll be willing to do that.
She'll be right ready. I mean, seriously, sometimes people come back with these new knees and they're like, I can do everything.
Not my mom.
Yeah, probably. That's why I figured that was a safe guarantee to make.
My mom will be like, I can walk to the car now.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
There you go. So she can take you to Arby's.
That's right. I'll be like, take me. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys one thing real quick. I turned vegetarian.
Really?
What? Yeah. No more burgers?
No.
Wow, vegetarian, baby. What was that? Was that a doctor suggestion or?
No, I'm not a big fan of Bill Maher. In fact, I really dislike Bill Maher.
Yeah.
But he did this like, you know, his end like little rant was on why people aren't vegetarians. And I like really bought into it. I was like, oh shit, you're right. I don't fucking need to eat meat.
Huh.
Like the way they treat the animals and everything is fucking gross.
Yeah.
You know?
Facts.
So I was like, I'll just try it for a month, and that was like 2 months ago.
Okay.
Well, to be fair, I should say that because of all the concerns about the meat industry, I started just getting vegetarian options, substitutes for like entrees, and so I've been doing a lot of that too. Not completely meatless, but I do feel a difference. So there's something to it.
That's huge, dude. Congratulations. I'm very proud of you.
Nice, man.
Thanks, Preston. Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk soon.
Yes, yeah, we will.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll see you.
See you next Tuesday.